and sewer type smell of this illness and this valley that I'm going through. It's good to know that I can have some sweetness along the way. It's good to know that I can get a whiff of fresh air every now and then. It's good to know that I can step away from the experience and look at the face of Christ and smell the sweetness in the midst of a bitter experience.
Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and I would like to welcome you to this edition of the Anchored in Jesus radio program. I am senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church and also founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies. We would like to thank you for joining us today as we continue through the Psalms. We will look at the first half of A Rally in the Valley, from Psalm 23. So join us today as we look at Psalm 23.
But in the 23rd Psalm and verse 4, we read these words: "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." This morning, saints, I want to speak to you on this subject: a rally in the valley. A rally in the valley. A rally in the valley. I don't know where you're at this morning. Maybe you are in the midst of a valley. Maybe you're walking, as David is talking about here, you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. As we look at this valley of the shadow of death, there's a couple things that we want to point out as far as what David was trying to say. The valley of the shadow of death, if you will notice the picture up on the screen today, was a place of thick darkness. It was a place where, as you journeyed through, that you could hardly see your next step. It was a place that, according to one commentator, a poetical expression for the profoundest darkness that a person could go through. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where it was so dark that you could just feel the darkness. And that's the image that David is trying to portray here. He's trying to portray an image of just thick darkness where it's fear and dread, and it's surrounding each and every inch of space that's around us. This picture that David is talking about is a place where there is an absence of sunlight, and the sheep would have actually been terrified to go through this valley without the guidance of the shepherd. It was a place where the crevice was rocky, where there were holes, and the possibility where the sheep could be harmed and much danger could come to the sheep as they would walk through this dark valley. But as we relate this to everyday life, the thing that David is trying to point out, he's trying to point out that all of us have dark and dismal experiences, that we all go through trials in life. What is a valley that we might go through? Your valley might be sickness in your body. Maybe that's the valley you find yourself traveling through right now. I know I've had some reoccurrence of situations that I had last year that laid me up for about 3 months, and I'm dealing with it right now. And so I'm going through my own personal valley. Maybe your valley is somebody sick in your family. Maybe a loved one that you care very much about and that you're very concerned about, that they are dealing with a serious illness, and you find yourself having to give attention and care to that individual. Maybe that's the valley that you're traveling through this morning. Maybe your valley is that you've lost a loved one. Maybe recently, or even you still continue to struggle with the fact that somebody that was precious and dear to you is no longer here on the face of this earth, and it's just a dark cloud that hangs over in their absence. And maybe that's your valley this morning. Maybe you're here today and you're dealing with some relationship problems with a husband, wife, children, maybe even a boyfriend, girlfriend, or peer-to-peer relationship. Maybe there's some struggles there and you've been hurt and you've been wounded. You know, we've heard about the young man who was dealing with homosexuality and how that he was ridiculed and he went out and committed suicide and he was having problems with his peers and people that were making fun of him. And so maybe that's your valley today. You're walking through a valley where somebody's making fun of you, somebody's ridiculing you, somebody is giving you a hard time. You're in a relationship that's very disturbing to your soul. Maybe that's your valley today. I know there's probably a lot of people here today that are dealing with financial situations. And you, as somebody said, my money is funny and my change is strange. And so you're having a very difficult time financially today. And that's the valley that you find yourself walking through. Maybe you're dealing with a personal problem today. There's a personal struggle that you find yourself facing. Well, I don't know what your valley is today, but I find that all of us, at some point, have to walk through valleys. You know what I say about trials? The same thing I say about trials are the same thing I'm going to say about the valleys. And that is either you're in a valley, you just got out of a valley, or somebody help me, you're getting ready to go into one. You find yourself in one of those situations. But I came to Bethany Baptist Church this morning to announce to you that there can be a rally in the valley. A rally in the valley. What's the definition of the word rally? This word rally, actually, and I like the definitions that came out of it, but one definition that came out of it was a mustering of scattered forces to renew an effort. It means that your life has been scattered. It means that your life has been pushed aside here and there. And a rally means that you're coming back together again. You're trying to pull this thing back together. B, a summoning of strength or courage after weakness and dejection. That you've been discouraged and you've been weakened. But now it's time to rally back. It's time to come back. That even you don't have to wait till you get out of the valley to start your rally. You start your rally right in the midst of the valley. C relates to economic situations, a recovery of a price after a decline. We talk about the fact that the markets rallied or this financial rally took place. And so it can be a financial rally. And then I like D also, as we think about rally, it can be a renewed offensive. It means that you had to go somewhere and just get yourself together. I often liken it unto a fighter. And, you know, sometimes when you're in the fight, you might get punched in the stomach and get the air knocked out of you. And you can't wait for the bell to ring to end the round. Why? So you could go sit in the corner and gather yourself back together again. You just need a couple seconds just to go and sit down and get your breath back. You need a couple of seconds to go and just come in and get to that rallying point where you can go back and get in the fight again. And so you can have a rally in the valley. As we look at David, we see that how did David rally in the valley? Actually, David did three things as he rallied in the valley. The first one is that he accepted the reality of the valley. He accepted the reality of the valley. Look what he says here in Psalm 23 and verse 4. He says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Yea, though I walk through these dark experiences in my life. Yea, though I go through times of sickness and death and troubles and financial issues and first personal problems. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." So what did he do? He accepted the reality of the valley. See, some people don't want to accept the reality that they're in the valley. You know, I heard they were talking to a group of people about the valley. and they talked to the Scientologist people about the valley. And the Scientologist says, valleys are just the figment of your imagination. They talked to the Christian Scientists, and the Christian Scientist says, what valley? They talked to the Presbyterians, and the Presbyterians said, well, we were preordained to go through the valley. They talked to the Word of people, Faith people, and they said, I can't receive the confession that I'm in the valley. And then, you know, they had to talk to the Baptists. And the Baptists said, well, before we can say that we're in the valley, let's get a committee together and do a study on valleys. You see, some people don't want to accept the reality of the valley. Some people get in a valley, and what they do is they try to numb themselves through the valley. They try to medicate themselves through the valley. They figure if they can get high or if they can take some type of substance that will take their mind off of their problems and it'll somehow ease the brunt and the punch of the valley. And so they try to numb themselves through the valley. But notice that David, he didn't deny the valley. He didn't say he wasn't in a valley. He didn't try to numb himself in the valley. He accepted the reality of the valley. If you'll put up that next slide, you'll see that there are different ways that people deal with grief. These are the stages of grief. You know, anytime that something devastating happens to you, whether it's an illness, you know, I've been telling my wife over and over again, I said, you know, I can't believe that I'm dealing with the problem that I'm dealing with. I said, I just have a hard time believing that I got to deal with this type of illness. I never thought that I would have to deal with this type of situation. So, you know, there is that, number one, when you deal with a problem, the first thing is the denial. And that is when you say, this really isn't happening to me. This hasn't happened to me, whether it's death, sickness, financial problem. You know, you come to that understanding within yourself that, wow, I can't believe this is happening to me. Now, the other thing I want to say, because the experts tell us that you might not necessarily experience these stages in this order, and you may not experience all of these stages, but some people go through them just like clockwork, just right through this. Some people might jump to one and then back up to another one, or some people might skip one and go to the next one. But at some point, these are a part of that experience of grief. And then you get angry. You get angry and you start asking the question, well, why is this happening to me? You know, why am I going through this valley? Why do I have to go through the valley of the shadow of death? And so anger wells up in your spirit. Now, I've shared with you on many occasions in the midst of my sickness that, you know, I'll be honest with you. I did get angry with God. But it was an anger that was short-lived. And it was an anger that I knew, and the reason that I was angry is because I knew that God, and I know that God, is all-powerful. And I know that God could just put his fingernail on this situation and it'd be taken care of. And so you get out there and you try to understand, well, why doesn't God do something? And so you deal with feelings of anger. And then you deal with bargaining. And that is, if I would have done this, this wouldn't have happened to me. You know, even in the case of death, sometimes people, if a loved one dies, say somebody's husband or wife dies at an early age, sometimes people will even think a crazy thought like this. Well, you know, if I didn't marry that person, I wouldn't be dealing with what I'm dealing with right now. You know, and so you get into that bargaining stage where you begin to try to say, if I'd have done this, or, you know, I think of this little girl that was killed out here in Tucson. And it just grieves my spirit that anybody's life was taken, that anybody's life was taken, let alone the life of a 9-year-old little girl. And they were interviewing the lady that took her to the rally. And you can imagine how devastated this lady is, because, you know, she wanted this little girl to experience all that this politician had to offer and motivate and encourage her. And they were saying that when this man, you know, and I just get angry every time I think about it, but when he shot all these people, that this lady took this little 9-year-old girl in her arms, and she watched her, and she kept saying, "Don't you die on me. Don't you die on me." And she said she just looked at her eyes, and her one of her final quotes on her blog was that, "I watched the light go out of her eyes. I watched the light go out of her eyes." Now, what's very easy for this lady to do in this process is to say, "Man, I wish I'd never took the girl to the rally. I wish I would have never asked her to go. I wish that, you know, this lady would have never got elected as the politician. I wish they would have never had this rally." And so during this process, you begin to bargain and you begin to ask questions. And then you can actually be thrown into a depression where, you know, you say, "Well, I don't care anymore. I don't care. I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to do anything. Don't mess with me. Don't talk to me. Just leave me alone." So you fall into that depression stage as you go through your valley. And at some point, it all depends where you are in your emotional state. It depends where you are in your walk with God. At some point, you have to come to the place where you accept the reality that this has happened to you. And once you can accept it, then you can begin to deal with it effectively. And I just want to say that you can still deal with it while you're in the valley. See, people want to wait until they get out of the valley before they start to deal with it. But I'm here to tell you today that you can have a rally in the valley, that you can have a comeback, that you can gather all your resources, that you can re-energize, you can refocus, that you can bring things together while you're still in the valley and move out according to the will and the power of God. So what was the first thing that David did? If you were going to have a rally in the valley, the first thing that you've got to do is that you've got to accept the fact that you're in the valley. You got to say, "Man, I'm in the valley." You got to say that I'm sick. You got to say that somebody died. You got to say I'm having financial problems. You got to say I'm dealing with relationship issues. You got to accept the fact that you're in the valley. The second thing that David did, he announced his response in the valley. He announced his response in the valley. Look what he says in Psalm 23 and verse 4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." What was David's response in the valley? Is that he was not going to fear. That he was not going to allow the valley to take away what God had given to him. He was not going to allow the valley to deter him from the objectives that God had for his life. Like I said, the valley might slow you down. The valley might cause you to stop for a little while and have to sit down and gather yourself and gather your thoughts and gather your, renew your vigor and your vitality. But you got to pick it up at some point, and you got to keep proceeding through the valley. You can't let fear paralyze you, because God is with you. God is with you in the valley, and even though we might reach out and even though we might get angry in the valley, that we should never forget that God is with us in the valley. I heard a wonderful story about a ship that was going from New York to England. And this was one of those maiden voyages that there was a captain who had sailed across the Atlantic on many occasions. And one evening, a storm came up and it began to blow and rock the ship. And people were aroused from their cabins and they came out to see what was happening, and somebody said there's a fierce storm and the boat was being rocked and shaken and the waves were battering against the boat. And there was a little girl who was the daughter of the captain, and she was down sleeping. She heard all the commotion and she got up and she went and asked somebody, "What's going on?" And they told her that, you know, there's a great storm and the boat is in danger. And she said, I just have one question. Is my father on deck? And they said, yes, he is. And the little girl went back and got in her cabin and went to sleep. Is the father on deck? When you're going through the valley, I just have one question. Is the father on deck? When you are dealing with sickness in your body, I have one question. Is the father on deck? If you're dealing with the death of a loved one, is the father on deck? Are you having relationship problems? Is the father on deck? No food on your table, no clothes on your back. Is the father on deck? The ship might look like it's going to capsize. It might look like it's going to turn over. It might look like we all want to drown, but don't worry. I just have one question. Is the father on deck? You see, that's the problem. That's the problem with a lot of us when we go through the valley, is that we try to go through it in our own power. We try to go through it in our own strength, and we don't allow the father to come on deck. Fear not the windy tempest wild. The ship, they will not wreck. Lie down and sleep, O helpless child. The father is on deck. The father is on deck. Whatever you're dealing with, if you know God, it's good to know that he's at the helm of the ship. It's good to know that he's guiding us through the rough seas. And there's no need to fear the storm that's around us. There's no need to fear as the winds blow and as the gales come in. There's no need to fear because the Father, yes, he is. Yes, he is. The Father is on deck. What did David do in the valley? He accepted the reality of the valley. He announced his response in the valley. And I like this one right here. And that is, he acknowledged his resources in the valley. He realized that he had some resources beyond himself, that he had some things that could help him to be able to overcome the valley. Look what he says in Psalm 23 and verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He has some resources in the valley. What was the resources that David had? Well, first of all, he said, thy rod, God's rod. What was a rod? A rod basically was a stick. And the stick was a sign of authority. Because when the enemies of the sheep saw the shepherd with the stick in his hand, they knew that there was some authority that was present. And they knew that they could only go so far in dealing with the sheep. That's why in the next verse, the psalmist says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, you got to understand what the word picture was there. This is the word picture. Here you have the sheep that are out in the middle of a pasture that are grazing. And, you know, we've seen all these cartoons with the wolves and the coyotes and how they want to get to the sheep, right? I mean, they're just itching to get at the sheep. And the picture is these sheep out here in this pasture. And then you have these mountains and you have these hills where you have all these enemies of the sheep, all the animals of the sheep. And they're waiting for the opportunity to just pounce on the sheep. They're waiting for the opportunity just to come down and overwhelm the sheep. But you know what? They never get the opportunity. Why? Because the shepherd is there. And what does the shepherd have in his hand? He's got the rod.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time for the conclusion of A Rally in the Valley from Psalm 23. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, A Rally in the Valley, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request A Rally in the Valley, or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, You can view or download more than 400 teachings that are listed there. Also, we encourage you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Remember, it is through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews 6:19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and anchor for the soul. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and on behalf of our volunteer staff, I would like to remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.